Welcome to the Dodgers Prospects Podcast. I'm Casey Porter of Dodgers Daily, joined by Tim Rogers of Dodgers 2080, as I am each and every week. Tim, I know you are gearing up. You live in San Diego, so... Well, actually, you moved. I don't know exactly where you live at this moment.
Still close. Northern. It's in Escondido, northern San Diego County.
Okay, very good. So I know you are gearing up, first of all, for the Freeway Series coming up the next couple days.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Was hoping to get a press pass, but just like my high school dating life and college dating life, denied. That happens, though, when you're – and that happens a lot. I get – you know, when I apply to Dodger Stadium, I get like one out of three. But, hey – the one's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, man. Really cool week, and you have been all over the coverage of especially a couple of guys. I know you spent a lot of time in spring training, but your coverage of Jake Pilarski, and then I know we talked a couple weeks ago about Taranski, who got in the game.
Yeah.
Mitchell Taranski, who got in the game the other night. He looked great. And so I believe he struck out the side, but he looked really, really good. So, hey, you were all over the Pilarski coverage. I know you got a chance to talk to him. You got a chance to talk to the scout, Jonah Rosenthal, who actually signed him and saw him out of independent ball and then with Tread Athletics. And you got to see Mitchell Taranski, too. So take us through all of that.
Yeah. Spring training, gosh, it's been like 4 weeks since I headed out there. And, you know, please, if you can get out there, go. For me, it was a great thing with Pilarski to see, you know, just you know, like I said in my video, I heard it from, you know, Ryan January and Dalton Rushing to go take a look at this guy. And so I did, and the first time I viewed him, I was having all sorts of technical issues, so I didn't really see him much. But when I saw him again, it was great. He was you know, just dominating the Great Britain WBC team. Saw him and Madison Jeffrey walking together. I go, oh man, that's about 200 miles an hour right there between those two guys. Those are two guys that we, you know,
not like the car you drive around in San Diego or Escondido every day, right?
Darn right. Well, once a week. I pull the beast out of, in fact, I'll be doing it today. With Jeffrey, you know, Madison Jeffrey's a favorite of both of ours. And then, you know, to see another guy like Jake just, you know, come out of seemingly nowhere, but, you know, the story that's out there and how he was found, it really comes down to it fits the Dodger characteristics so well. These guys that just work so hard to get to where they're at, and the way the Dodgers just said, hey, we're not waiting to, you know, for him to try out for other teams. We're going to sign him as soon as we can. And, you know, he comes in, and then, you know, the ironic thing is I was busy working on video, on the video of the Pilarski Jonah Rosenthal thing. When he was pitching, I didn't find out about him pitching till afterwards.
Yeah.
I see the tweets. I'm like, I'm recording. I can't go and
I appreciate watch. The love on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah. Just so funny. Thank you. I mean, you post those things. Thank goodness that you're on the ball on those things. Yeah. But to see him come out there, and I just, you know, Instagram message him, go, just kind of, dude, what was that? That's awesome. You know, and he was really appreciative.
To see I'm a guy. Gonna get a chance to talk to him tonight. I know you've already talked to him too. Good. So that's cool. Good. We're both going to get to talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And as I don't know, Casey, you know this, but the fans, you know, these guys appreciate the coverage. Sometimes they're a little reluctant because there's shyness involved, but when we do this stuff and show them, you know, they send it back to their families. They, you know, and some of these guys, their families are thousands of miles away and they're not around. But yeah, the Pilarski story is a great story. I'm just so interested to see where he ends up.
Mm-hmm.
I really have no idea. Other than I don't think it's Rancho or below, because, you know, he's 24 years old and he's ready. He's, you know, there's plenty there. Taranski, that's just Mitchell Taranski is a great story. I found him in 2020 just by taking pictures.
Yeah. He wasn't throwing in 2020. Well, of course, there was no minor league season.
It was spring training.
He hadn't pitched since 2019.
Yeah, it was 2020. They do their live batting practice.
Yeah, so he was throwing in bat in spring training in 2020. Okay,
yeah, and I took
hadn't thrown in a game since 2019.
Right, and so you know, I took pictures during that, and just had them in my back pocket and posted. Transky, at least I haven't found it. He's not anywhere on the as Clint Pacias calls it, the internet machine. I can't find him anywhere. But 29, and if you look him up, he was really good.
You could see the other day.
Yeah.
We'll get into, kind of what makes both of those guys really good here in a minute, but continue on with.
Yeah. And then, I just spring training this year, this guy pulls up. I started talking to him, ask him his name. He goes, "Oh, Mitchell Taranski." I'm like, "Holy smokes." I just talked about you like a few days ago. On our Dodgers the DPP.
There you go. Words.
Yeah, I like that. That works for me.
The DPP. The DPP. Yeah.
We should trademark, right? Let's trademark
that. Yes, sir. We need to do so.
Yeah. And just talked to him and we talked for quite a few minutes, and it was just great to hear his story. He did, the pandemic took away 2020, mm-hmm. Tommy John.
Yeah.
Early 2021 before really anything got going. So yeah, he was not getting into any games since 2019. I expect Great Lakes, and mm-hmm. for him it's he would like, I think he kind of wants Great Lakes because his family's out there, which would be great.
Only problem with that is Great Lakes, man, when you look at the relief pitching and that at that level, of course it could all change.
Yeah,
golly, man, when you go up and down the roster of relief pitchers, there's like 20 of them. I mean, that would be the only hesitation I would have for a guy who hasn't, coming off of Tommy John. We see it with Dustin May yesterday. And, I know Dustin mm-hmm. May got touched up for 3 runs, but that's not the significance. The significance is he went over 5 innings. And with Tommy John, guys, it's all about getting innings back in. Michael Grove was that way, because the more mm-hmm. innings you get in, the more you get the feel back. It's not the pain, it's the feel. And there's no other way to get it other than to pitch. So, boy, with Taranski, man, I think it'd be smart to put him in the situation that's going to allow him to throw the absolute most and not necessarily mm-hmm. the highest level. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And it will be interesting to see, because there's other guys, there's quite a few guys coming back from Tommy John.
Every single pitcher in the Dodgers organization, I think, has had Tommy John surgery at one point.
Another guy is Jason Cabrera, same boat. I saw his injury, I saw it happen in early 2021, but he's ready to go. And then, we already know Duran Duran just had it in November.
How does a guy that's so highly thought of like that, just because he gets injured, how does he end up not even being on anywhere in the top 30?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I mean,
6'7", he has all the and Yunil Choi, and then a couple of others. Jordan Leisure would be one. Carson Taylor's another one who fought injury this last year. He's always been the top 30. There's
another one. So I know both Duran and Edgardo Henriquez were in the top 30, and but you know what? And I'm going to, I think I talked about it last week. I'm going to do this today since I got denied at Dodger Stadium. I'm going to do my Dodger Digest top 33, and Edgardo and Duran are both in their list. And mm-hmm. I think it makes sense. Those guys are total babies. Duran is just turned 21. Edgardo, I think, still 20. These are young guys with a lot of potential. Like you said, Duran, 6'7", he's nasty. And then Edgardo, if he would be coming, he'd be coming up on his like sophomore year of college, and next mm-hmm. year would probably be drafted, really, really high. So, I know that, and that's why, you and I, I like the list because it just shows names.
Sure.
That's about it.
It draws excitement towards prospects, which is always good.
Absolutely. And the players like it too.
Yeah, and I just always like to say it. Hey, take it with a grain of salt. It's fun. Yep. It's entertainment. It's really fun to look at. And you and I both use it from time to time. Mm-hmm. I really don't, because I like to make my own evaluations. I don't like to have preconceived ideas whenever I go in and watch. Does it make sense? You know, so
yeah.
Just, you know, it's awesome to have, because it's fun. And it like I said, anytime you can have anything that promotes these prospects, I'm all for it, yes. Right? But, exactly. You know, there's guys that aren't on it that are probably closer to helping the major leagues, like a Hunter Fiducia, we say this, a Mark Washington, a Nick Robertson, even like a Carson Taylor, who, you know, is a very good, John Rooney, Alec Gamboa, Lyle Lockhart Jr. John Rooney just moved to the bullpen, and I think I think you're going to see an uptick. I think you're going to see him around 96. He's going to continue to have that sweeping slider. You know, he has the big-time pickoff move, so he's going to be able to control the running game. Kind of like Gus Varden last year. You know, I actually got to talk to Gus in Tulsa right after he got moved to the bullpen, and we kind of have a kind of conversation of, hey, you know, this is going to allow you to uptick with your velo. You know, I mean, you're going to go from 95-96 to 97, and sure as heck, you ended up 98 and getting taken in the Rule 5. So I think that's going to be a big-time move for John Rooney. Just – you know, another one of those guys, again, that not in the top 30 prospect, probably closer to getting an L.A. spot than a lot of the other guys on the list. So, you know, that's just kind of my warning with those. I like those lists because it brings exposure, and any exposure you can give to these prospects, we're all for. But, hey, how about, you know, we mentioned this last week in our show, okay, and I think the way you put it was, hey, there's still question as to whether James Altman's going to make the – opening day roster. I mean, what are you watching, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, announced that he's going to make the opening day roster. And let me say this, Tim, very exciting. I know you got to see him right when he first broke in to professional baseball. I got to see one of the greatest months of offensive baseball I've ever seen when he moved from Great Lakes to Tulsa. And James Altman gets to move up. And, boy, there has never, ever, ever been a more deserving promotion than him. And I'll say this before I'll turn this back over to you, let you talk about a little bit. Okay, when you have big-time prospects like Altman, you know, like a Michael Bush, that type of player, a Miguel Vargas, you don't put him in a setting where he doesn't play every day. The last thing you want with these young guys is for them only playing like every third day. So by them putting James Altman on the opening day roster, you have to assume he's going to get a lot of playing time in L.A. He's not up there just to sit on the bench.
You have to be right. I mean,
yeah.
But we saw this. We've seen this before with the Dodgers with some players. And, you know, they did it with Vargas in September when they had a huge lead and broken players. And he only got 40 at-bats in September. He could have
easily had. Big difference between the end of the year and the beginning of the year, though, I would think.
It is. But I just have the battle scars where the trust level. He should be started. He should be the opening day starter. It's a right-hander on the mound. He's earned it, like you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got, you know, some of the best statistics of everyone in spring training. And then what he did last year, he performed at the major league level and then went to, instead of pouting when he got sent back, he just dominated.
Yeah.
So
great point. Great point.
If anyone's earned it, it's him.
What a dude too, man.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I think I almost feel like I spend too much time talking about that when I talk about him. But he is a really good dude. It seems like he comes from a really good family, and just has the right attitudes. Mm-hmm. But and we see this though. So many of these Dodger players, they are really good people, and James is right up there. I couldn't be more happy. I did actually. I had already published stuff, but I found his the scout that discovered him and really brought him in was Tom Kunis, who actually lives in the same city as I do, but I found him on LinkedIn because I reread the article when I interviewed James. Of course I reread it after I published, did some publishing, but right at the top he gives a lot of credit to Tom Kunis. Yeah. So I wanted to give Tom that because he pushed for him. And James was not in the, given these lists, he was not in the MLB pipeline top 200 draft candidates. He was not in the Baseball America top 500.
Right.
And he was taken in the seventh round. And look what we have. We have a hopefully our starting center fielder for the next few years.
Yeah. Well, he was, you know, that football type player that literally had no other offers other than Sac State. Reggie took a chance on him. Reggie Christensen, who was just a wonderful coach there at Sac State, really taught him the defensive aspects of the game, you know, and he'll reference all the great mentors he's had. You know, one thing that Reggie taught him and his dad as well is that, you know, he would always like to say, hey, if you've got, let's say you're driving at night, you know, and you've got, say, 100 miles to drive, you know, but at night you can only see 200 feet in front of you. Well, drive that 200 feet, and then you can see 200 more feet, then drive that other 200 feet, and then keep doing that till you get to your destination. Then once you get to your destination, then you can look back and see how far that you've traveled. And he's really taken that to heart. And when he became a Dodger, you know, and Reggie, another thing about him that's great is that he really teaches defense. So, you know, the one thing that I've always said about James Altman, when some people, like, there were actually some people that were questioning his defense this time last year. I was like, what are you guys talking about? I mean, he is an elite defender because, you know, obviously he's the great athlete, the great raw athlete. He has the good arm. But watch his footwork when he comes through balls getting ready to throw. Watch all his mechanics. Watch all of his systems of how he gets behind the ball. This guy has been taught how to play defense by Reggie at Sac State. He came to the Dodgers. You know, you mentioned not being on any of those lists, but that's from an offensive perspective because, you know, his first quote whenever I first talked to him was, hey, when I got to the Dodgers, I kind of swung like a caveman, you know. It's like, hey, we just try to swing and see how far we can hit it. The Dodgers, literally within the first 30 minutes of drafting James Altman, sent him a text message and said, hey, we're going to fix your swing. Let's get started. And James was like, when? When and where, you tell me and I'll meet you up. They've been doing it ever since. He's been refining that swing. And you know what? His strikeout percentage was the lowest last year at the AAA level since the first year he's played in professional ball since 2018. And so, you know, he hit the 31 home runs, 106 RBIs. He hit 296, two grand slams and two cycles, both within a week of each other. He hit the home run at first at bat, major league level. And by the way, I'll say this. This is my opinion only, and I don't mean this to be negative or a complaint or anything, but he should have been on the roster instead of Joey Gallo last year. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no debates. No debates.
Okay. Yeah. So
especially since Gallo didn't even play.
Yeah, right. You know, and at least, you know, like the Vargas deal. Hey, I'm a little bit different with you on the Vargas deal because I felt like they were just bringing Miguel up to get experience, to be around the guys, to be ready for this next season, and that valuable experience is getting used to LA, getting used to the big environments, getting used to the BP, signing the autographs. I thought that was a good experience for Miguel. They should have done that for James Altman last year. I don't understand it, but you hit on a great point there. Hey, you know, and I talked to Zach McKinstry about this last year, you know, whenever he was kind of getting shuffled back and forth and he had some injuries right before he got traded to the Cubs. And one thing that was so impressive about Zach is he never pouted about it. He never was frustrated that he kept getting sent back to Oklahoma City. Because, Tim, I know you've probably never been to the Bricktown Ballpark. It's a wonderful facility.
Yeah, not yet.
But on a Tuesday night, there's 3,000 people there. You know, whereas at Dodger Stadium, there's 52,000 people. You know, so whenever you're in Dodger Stadium one night and Oklahoma City the next, it's tough, man. It's real tough. And so I love the fact that you mentioned didn't pout. Just kept doing his work, kept putting it in. Kept driving those 200 feet in night, kept going the next 200 feet till eventually he's gotten to his goal, which is being on the opening day roster for the Dodgers.
Between him and Papio, those are the, you know, two of the guys that, you know, I've been following since kind of the beginning of their careers. And it's great to see, you know, again, good people. And but all the best to James, and I cannot wait to see that opening day lineup with him in it.
Yeah. Yep. And I can't wait to see the fifth game lineup. You know why?
Yeah. Pepio
is going to be pitching.
Darn
Boy, right. And he's deserved it, hasn't he? You know, he took, he took quite a bit of fire last year, undeservedly, you know, because that taxi squad thing, man, I actually talked to Mitch White like right after the last time he went back down to Oklahoma City in 2021. I can tell you, it affects these guys big time, man. I don't, you know, and like this, I say it every time, but don't get me wrong, they would walk to Los Angeles if I have to pitch on a major league team. But what Pepiot did last year and to keep his ERA down, he was, you know, he took too much criticism, in my opinion, and he's shown what he's capable of in this spring training. So super excited for him. Talk about Ryan Pepiot.
Yeah, I agree. He, and you know, it's the casuals or even a few non-casuals going, well, there's this and that, and with his control, we understand that. Now we've seen some good positive results this spring with Pepiot. I think he only walked four or five guys in what 19 innings or so. So hopefully that's fixed. We'll find out more as the season goes, but I think the good news, and we've talked about this over and over, there's some runway possibly now. I mean, he is the fifth starter. It's not like, well, he's, you know, well, we'll take it start by start, and we'll, you know, I think he's going to get some runway. Hopefully, the Dodgers are patient this year with some of these guys. With you know, it takes 89 games to get in the playoffs. Not that I don't want to win the division, but the long term being in October. The Dodgers last year had it clinched in June, and they still messed around with some of these guys instead of just promoting them and giving them a chance. They could have been better prepared in October than they were with broken down players that, you know, Lux was hurt with his neck. Taylor was not 100%, and we know he still lost at the plate. JT was not healthy, couldn't get hit the ball 60 miles an hour. So they had three dead bats in the lineup. And then, and instead of, they could have had Outman and, you know, getting what, 2-3 months with playing time. Vargas the same. Pepiot getting innings because they needed Pepiot, because really Gonsolin, they forced him into that rotation and he wasn't ready. And you know, now Tony's hurt again. But yeah, it's expected with this Dodger pitching staff that injuries will happen, and any pitching staff, pitchers break. Fortunately, we do have Ryan Pepiot, and we have Michael Grove, and I think we're going to talk about Andre Jackson also.
Yeah, no doubt.
Been awesome. And they got Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller lurking also in the shadows. So, you know, with Pep, boy, give him the 10 to 15 starts, and I think we're going to be very happy with what we see, and it won't be 10 to 15 starts. It'll be hopefully 30 starts.
Yeah, he's good. I've been telling people that a lot, you know, and – you know, he's good. I got to see him quite a bit in Tulsa, then Oklahoma City. And he's hot off the presses. Just got a message that Jake Pilarski just got invited to the Freeway Series. So you're going to get a chance to see him again. Yeah, so that's going to be very exciting. Very exciting for him.
That's great. Hey, breaking news. I love it.
Yeah, hey, you just mentioned a name that we were headed to next. Kind of a sleeper. Kind of a guy that people aren't talking a whole lot about. Maybe that's just my perception of things, but Andre Jackson, man, dude, this guy's been rocking it in spring training. You know, at the beginning of last year, he wasn't throwing strikes. He got sent to the development list, and I don't know exactly what they did. You know, I did have a chance to communicate with Andre here in the last week or so, but you know, he said, hey, he's just trying to throw his four seam for a strike and then trying to play everything off of that and this and that. But hey, how about Andre Jackson? Something happened at the beginning of last year. He got everything back. He started throwing with confidence again. And I'll tell you what, man, he has never looked this good. This is the best that Andre Jackson has looked since he's been a Dodger. And he's very talented. You know, he didn't pitch a whole lot in college. I mean, not hardly at all at Utah. Right. So he is just coming into his own. Excited about him.
Yeah, I mean, he was outfielder at Utah, then he got Tommy John. I mean, it was hopefully Casey got some more breaking news for us there. He had a terrible start for the year. He probably went to the prior lab out there in Arizona with all the associates there, and they do things that, and they can't tell us the details of that stuff. It's, there's probably a lot of good proprietary information there, but we, you know, it's nice to have this place where these guys really understand their pitchers.
Yeah.
And it's,
or it could just be Rob Hill coming to Oklahoma City and spending, you know, 4 or 5 days with him and a couple of other guys. Who knows? And I will never ask that question because that's none of my business, my opinion. But.
And Casey, you see this. I see this at Rancho. It's like there's sometimes just other faces that show up. And I need to do a better job of asking them who they are. It's like, oh, that's who you are. I've heard of you. And that's what you, okay. Then you kind of figure out, but usually it's some type of extra pitching coach, some extra hitting coach. They just come around and take us. It's always good to have another set of eyes.
Sure.
And video's great. And all the tracking that they do, all the, whatever this, you know, all the metrics that they do. But at the end of the day, sometimes it also just takes that, you know, seeing it live, seeing the reaction, seeing everything that's going on with them, talking to them, getting just that good feel for what they're doing to help make a move. I'm just speculating, but I'm just so happy for Andre. He is underrated. I think one of the reasons he's underrated, he doesn't show up on prospect lists anymore, you know, whatever. He is still rookie eligible.
Yeah,
this year.
And yeah, there's another guy we were talking about earlier, not on the prospects. Is he on the top 30 prospects? I can't remember.
No.
Yeah. See, that. So there's another one that's he actually even made the roster, not on the top 30 prospects list. There you go.
Yeah, I mean he's legitimately. I think a very good pitcher. It's going to be just interesting to see his role, but I see that bullpen, but I see that kind of that 2016, 2017 Ross Stripling type profile where, you know, multiple innings possibly. Mm-hmm. If they go into extras, I think he's going to finish the game. I do see him starting some games or, hey, someone gets in trouble in the first or second inning, Andre's going to be the first guy up. Mm-hmm. So I expect a multi-inning reliever for sure. But I, you know, his stuff.
Change up big time.
Yeah, there is no designated closer, thank the Lord. And I'd like to see him get a shot at a couple of those save opportunities.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there's a couple of opportunities. You know, obviously he could be a starter. He's been a starter in minor leagues. And then the Dodgers like to use what's called a piggyback role. I know Lyle Lockhart Jr. and Robbie Pito love that role where you actually take one of your relievers. You know, a reliever, say that you have three outs planned for that reliever. Well, that doesn't mean it has to be in the sixth or seventh inning. You could take that three outs and throw it in the first inning, right? And then you bring in your what the Dodgers call the bulk inning guy in the second or third inning. Nick Robertson's done this quite a bit for the Dodgers. You know, he'll come in and instead of throwing his one, because he's a guy that if he's on, you know, he can extend to three innings. So taking his 1 to 2 to 3 innings, instead of putting them in the fifth or sixth inning, you put them in the first inning, you kind of see how things are going for Nick that day. And he's extended as much as three innings at a time, and it's been as little as one at a time to start a game. Then you bring in what they call that bulk inning guy, you know, the guy that comes in like in the second inning, and then he throws the next five. And then that gets you to the back end of your bullpen. I think that's the Andre Jackson role. You know, he's either that opener or he's that piggyback guy. And then he's, you know, just the guy that can – he can start, he can open, he can piggyback, he can – you know, he's going to be that bulk inning guy. I don't see any situation to where he – I mean, there will be times, don't get me wrong, it's 162 games, just about everything happens. But I think almost every time he comes in, you're going to be looking at multiple innings because – he's the, you know, bulk innings, at least multiple innings, maybe bulk innings. So, and that's a big role. You know, Tim, I'm glad you mentioned no predetermined closer because, you know, not always the last three outs are the biggest three outs of the game.
Right.
And I want Evan Phillips in the game when Doc thinks the three biggest outs need to be had. You know, that last postseason, I can't remember which game it was, but one of the ones the Dodgers won, Evan Phillips came in the sixth inning and got three outs, and it turned out those were the three biggest outs of the game. So I like the idea of saving what you think is your most explosive and reliable, you know, relief guy for the biggest three outs and not necessarily the last three outs.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the nightmare of game four last year. For some reason, Dave Roberts said he was holding Evan Phillips out to close the game.
Yeah.
When the game was lost in the seventh, and the game was lost in the seventh inning.
There you go. That's a great example. Yeah.
I saw it live amongst the tears of heaven coming from Tommy Lasorda as that was happening. It was just ugh. So hopefully they will do that and use pitchers where the matchups matter. It's like, hey, here's the seventh inning and the couple guys on, and I've got Tatis, Soto, and Machado coming up. I want my best. I don't care what inning it is. I want my best out there in that situation. So, hopefully, I really hope they stick with it. And I think they've got the talent to do it. And I'd like to see Andre get some shots at some tough guys. Let him learn. I think that's there. I want to win every game. And I know the Dodgers even more want to win every game. But the wins sometimes are experience and getting those guys growing. So I hope there's a good mix of it. Mm-hmm. We've talked about they have plenty of the veterans out there that know how to win, with the Freddie mm-hmm. Freemans, Mookie Betts, JD Martinez, Miguel Rojas, and Will Smith. Yeah. Will Smith's a veteran now. Yeah. Oh, Austin Barnes, a veteran of all veterans. And so they got that. Yeah. And then they've got the mix now. They got four guys that are eligible for Rookie of the Year on the opening day roster. It's mm-hmm. I love the mix. I wish there was probably one or two more.
Jackson. Who's the fourth?
Vargas.
Oh, yeah. How do I forget?
I know. He's been anointed. He's been kind of anointed. So that's cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, so it's like I've been listening. I've been, we've been covering him for so long, it doesn't seem like he's a rookie anymore. That's funny.
He's still a kid.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? He is. That's hilarious. Hey, what do you do with Gavin Stone? I mean, come on, man. The guy, what is he allowed? Like two runs the whole spring training? He's flashed the best changeup in the world. He has shown just how cool and calm he is. He's shown he can dominate professional hitters. And, consistently. Yeah. So, I mean, I know you have I know you have plans going in, and you have veterans, and you have – how does that guy not make the opening day? I know he's not going to. But
yeah.
I mean, he's not even on the 40-man yet, right?
No, he's not. And that's part of it. They're playing the game. And I understand it, but my hey, fans of the Oklahoma City Dodgers, you have 2 months – to go and see Gavin Stone up close. Go see him.
And Bobby Miller.
Go enjoy these guys while you can. Get as close as you can. Get those autographs while you can. Get those best seats. Bring your cameras. Take as many pictures as you can. These guys are coming to Dodger Stadium at some point this season, and you guys have the best shot of seeing these future stars, and advertisement. I mean, that's kind of my whole thing about go to the Rancho, go see these guys play. I mean, Casey, Diego Cartaya was there for 2 months.
Yeah.
The place never sold out.
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it?
He had a third capacity. It's like people, go. It's really
well.
It's
within a week of each other, you had Cartaya and Dalton Rushing both. I know they didn't play together at Rancho at any one time, but I think Cartaya got promoted, and then like 5 or 6 days later, you had Dalton Rushing in the lineup.
It was something like that, but yeah, it was. There's just all these guys coming through. The only time it sold out, Kershaw Day, when he did his rehab start, and I understand that. That was crazy. Wow, it was insane how full that was. Yeah. And I'm sure if he does it when he does it at OKC, it's the same thing. But enjoy these players while you can, and at a younger age and up close. They're really fun to watch. They're really good kids. You have a better chance of meeting them and just making those interactions, and it's a cool thing. So get out there if you can. But who are we talking about? Gavin Stone.
Gavin Stone. Hey, another guy we haven't mentioned him yet on the Dodgers Prospects podcast. One of the thunderbolt right arms in the Dodgers system, going to pitch on Tuesday in the Freeway Series. I believe it's going to be Tuesday. Don't exactly quote me on that, mm-hmm. but that's the information I was given. Kyle Hurt. Okay, oh. So put it on your agenda to watch Kyle Hurt pitch on Tuesday. This dude, massively underrated, man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this out of USC, he threw a 91-mile-an-hour slider last year. So you're gonna get to see him. What game are you going to, Tim?
I'm trying to go to both Monday and Tuesday. It's press pass only. To take the time off work, I got to go press pass and do that. So hopefully the Angels will show me some grace there. With the Ohtani stuff, though, there's going to be a million Japanese reporters applying for the same thing. So we'll see. I'd like to get there. Hurt, a local guy, San Diego guy, Torrey Pines High School. I met him briefly at spring training.
Dad,
I saw him throw last year.
Played the NFL. Dad played at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then, Hurt really put it together in 2022. Mm-hmm. So another of the 5,000 awesome right-handed starting candidates that the Dodgers have. Yeah. They're loaded. Kyle Hurt's a guy that he ended up in Double A, right?
Yeah, another piggyback guy, Double A. Yeah. You had a chance to talk to him in Tulsa last year,
Yeah, I missed him at Rancho in 2021. He was there briefly. And he's really made a lot of progress. So, that's thank you for that information.
Yeah.
Again, more breaking news, folks. You got to be listening. Tell your friends. Yeah.
Hey, we're running out of time. We did not get a chance to get to our Michael Grove talk. I had a chance to talk to him. And, you know, he said his goal is to make the playoff roster. So, hey, goals are still intact for him. I know he's probably disappointed he didn't make the opening day roster, but his goal is to make the playoff roster. That is certainly still possible. We're going to have to save that conversation for next week because, as it always does, Tim, it's gone way too fast. Got about a minute left. Final thoughts.
Opening day's on Thursday. It's time to get excited. And then AAA starts real soon also. Rancho starts, I think, on 4-6 at Rancho. And so all these games are going to be starting. I know we're going to have a plethora of information because we're going to be seeing all the rosters actually get filled up at each level. That's always an exciting time. I think both of our other podcasts are going to be just going crazy with information. So make sure you check us all out on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, wherever. We're going to be all over the place, whether it's this one or with the Dodgers, Casey's Dodgers Daily, or my Dodgers 28. We're going to be all over the place. So be ready for just a lot of information coming soon right at you.
It's an exciting time as, you know, the games are getting ready to crank up for real. So, hey, we want to thank you fans for tuning in to another edition of the Dodgers Prospect Podcast. And one last reminder, if you like this video and if you like this kind of content, go ahead and click that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about the Dodgers Prospect Podcast. Become a subscriber. Have your friends become a subscriber. Mm-hmm. Then once you all subscribe, hey, make sure and turn on the notifications. Click that notification bell. That way, each time Tim and I release a new episode, you'll be notified. You won't miss a thing from the Dodgers Prospects Podcast. And Tim and I can continue to grow this show, easy for me to say, and we can keep providing this show in the future. As always, thanks for tuning in, Dodgers fans, and go Dodgers.